You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just 5 days out from the national championship game, there was only one way for this college football season to end, and that is with pure craziness and drama. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. And due to that national championship game, there were some reports, some statements, some clarification, and here joining me to react to it all is a guy that ruffled a few feathers the last time he was on the Locked On Big Ten show. It is the man we coined SEC Drew Carter, but from Big Ten country, a native of the great state of Minnesota, Drew Carter, a sports reporter and anchor at CBS 42 in Birmingham, Alabama. And he is the perfect person to react to all of this, the reports that due to some COVID issues at Ohio State, the national championship game scheduled for 5 days from now on Monday might be postponed a week. Drew is right there in Alabama. He is the other side of this equation when we talk about the national title game between the Buckeyes and the Crimson Tide. So he is giving us that perspective, the SEC perspective and the outlook that we need for Monday's national championship game. Drew, a long introduction, but great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, Ben. If you can hear my chair squeaking, that's me. Sorry about that. This is local news in a nutshell. Can't even find a chair that doesn't squeak. Good to be back. As you mentioned, I am the most objective party there is. I'm the most objective because I'm from Big Ten country and I now work in SEC country. So Everything I say is purely unbiased. So congratulations to the listener for finding the most unbiased person there is to break this down.
Congrats to me and kudos to me as well to going through all of the resources that is the Newhouse Mafia and our same alma mater to find you and to place you here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. It is my honor and my privilege to have you a part of this. Are you ready to react and respond to all of the craziness that was Tuesday afternoon in the reports surrounding the national championship game on Monday?
Yeah, I sort of am, Ben. I mean, okay. I think at this point, we really don't know what's going on at this point. Basically, as far as we can tell, and what this reminds me a lot of is the Auburn head coaching search. I feel the exact same way as I did when we were covering Auburn's next football coach, because every day it was a different report. Oftentimes, multiple times per day, we had a new front runner, a new leader in the clubhouse, and trying to keep track of all of it was like, I felt like Drake and Josh in the sushi episode with the conveyor belt. If you've ever seen, there's a reference that no one understands for you.
And that's why you here. Not only the objectivity that you provide from both Minnesota and Birmingham, but for the Drake and Josh references as well.
Just frantically trying to get the sushi on the conveyor belt or off. I don't remember exactly what they were doing, but what we're trying to do is figuring out when this game's going to be played. Is it going to be Monday, January 11th or Monday, January 18th? And immediately.
May I stop you there for just a moment just to say something about January 18th?
Go ahead.
That is also my birthday. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Folks, I mean, what a potential double whammy, a national championship and a Ben Stevens birthday. That's a special day for everyone, folks. But right now, Ben, we just don't know. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm not doing my job because I don't know. I feel like I'm not plugged in enough. But I think at this point, even the most plugged in people, what they're reporting is that there's a chance. There is a chance that this game gets pushed back. And I thought it was actually interesting because Feinbaum had on John Tulte, who is a Maryland graduate, now working in Birmingham. So another guy with Big Ten ties who now works in the Birmingham market, super plugged in, covers the SEC for AL.com. And he was the one along with Matt Zenitz who broke this news today. And Feinbaum asked John, why did you press send on this? Like, why did you decide that this was the time to report the news? Because it's not new. People who know what's going on with Ohio State have known for a few days that there are COVID issues within their program. Why today? And I guess the answer is so people can kind of adjust their travel plans or just be aware that there's a chance that this happens now that we're less than a week out from the game recording this on a Tuesday night. So all that to say, I wish I had more intel, but I really don't. I think even the most intelligent people with the most intel don't really know what's going to happen at this point.
Ohio State has been dealing with COVID issues within their program before the Big Ten championship game, leading up to the college football playoff semifinal in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson. They were without a large group of players for that Big Ten title, a still significant key starters for that Sugar Bowl against Clemson as well. And let's talk about that report from John Tulte and Matt Zenitz. Is that how you say it? From AL.com?
Zenitz. Zenitz. Put some respect on his name. That's my friend, Matt Zenitz.
I was going to ask, are you friends with these people? Do you know them?
I know Matt. I don't know John, but I know Matt. He's very buff. He works out a lot. He's great at his job.
Awesome. Matt Zenitz, thank you very much for your report. And in that report, the main indication was that Ohio State felt, or at least according to this report, that the COVID issues were so significant when it pertained to a specific position group that they may be without them for the potential of a national championship game in just 5 days from now. However, as we got some more clarification coming out throughout the afternoon, we had Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports saying that although Ohio State is dealing with COVID issues, it would not be enough to lead to a postponement. And then we got statements of clarification from both athletic directors, both from Ohio State and Gene Smith, and Greg Byrne, the AD of Alabama, saying that they have spoken and they are planning to play the game as scheduled on Monday, January 11th, just 5 days from now. And then Drew Carter's best friend, Bill Hancock, the CFP director, also saying they are no scheduled changes as of right now. They are planning to play on Monday, and they haven't really dealt with anything that would interrupt that at the moment. Drew, your thoughts to all of that, the reports first, and then the statements of clarification that seemed to calm the waters a little bit later on Tuesday.
Well, Ben, unfortunately, it kind of takes me back PTSD style to the beginning of college football season, or really the month leading up to it, where the NCAA has so many cooks in the kitchen. And I guess it's not accurate to say NCAA because they have recused themselves from the kitchen. They're the one organizing body that could come in and say, no, we need pepper and we need salt and just get it out there to the table. But they have instead decided to leave. So now we have, like you said, my good friend Bill Hancock, who heads up the CFP executive committee. You have the Big Ten involved, you have the SEC involved, you have Greg Byrne and Gene Smith coming out, both making statements today about what's going on here, essentially saying this is a lot of noise and it's really not anything concrete as of yet. And so at this point, Ben, it's, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, which is one of the reasons it's so confusing is because you don't know where to get your information from. Now, it's one thing if it's confusing during the Big Ten season. Like I remember up in Big Ten country, it was very confusing. Could Michigan actually play Ohio State? Because Michigan had their previous game canceled due to COVID protocols. You had Kirk Herbstreit out here talking about, are they going to, you know, tuck their tail and run and not want to play, and then rescinding that statement later. But that one made at least a little more sense because it was within the Big Ten. Now, Ben, here we are, and it's like the wild, wild west with the College Football Playoff Committee. And my first question when I saw this news today is, who is making these decisions and who is making the protocols? Because this isn't Big Ten play anymore. Is it the Big Ten who says you have to be out 17 days from your positive test before you play in the College Football Playoff National Championship? Or does the CFP committee say, no, actually, our protocol is 10 days and you're in our neighborhood now, so we make the rules here. You're ready to go. That's why I'm so confused by this whole thing, Ben, is because I don't know who's deciding the protocols and who is deciding if the game's going to happen on the 11th or 18th.
And all indications are that Ohio State is still following the Big Ten protocols that were in place. The daily antigen testing, the 17-day return to competition grace period, all of that is what Ohio State is following, but that is different than what the Alabama Crimson Tide are following in the SEC protocols. It is still very different and all very much in flux, but I think that led to a lot of fans' reactions that we saw on Tuesday afternoon. And I'm not really going to dive into conspiracy theories of this is all about Justin Fields and allowing him to have more time to heal his ribs. I'm not going to even talk about Kristen Saban, the daughter of Coach Saban's daughter, tweet about yelling that the COVID cases are BS and they're just trying to get more time to get their players back. But actually, you know what, Drew? Yes, I am going to talk about that. When you saw that,
Ben, I promise, I did not see the original tweet. I did see the "I'm so sorry" with the statement apologizing. Did you see this, Ben? Because you look confused.
She apologized. I did not see this.
She apologized. Mr. You saw that tweet. How about she released a statement saying, "I'm so sorry."
I'm a headline guy. I saw the tweet and I screenshotted it, right, for some levity to make sure that we always had that tweet in our possession.
Well, I'm glad you did that. Send it to me, please, because I still don't really, I know what she was implying. I don't know exactly what she said, but she did say, "I'm so sorry." Twitter was pretty electric throughout Tuesday. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that was really directed at Ohio State and some of the Big Ten's accommodations that they have made in favor of the Buckeyes, dating back to the Big Ten championship game and the arbitrary 6-game rule to get in to the conference championship game. Don't really need to delve into that. The 17-day grace period, all of that stuff. I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee will make these same accommodations, because you still have two dueling powers when you have the leadership of the SEC and the leadership of the Big Ten. But what we know right now, and I think this is where we will end this portion of the conversation, is the clarifications we have at the moment. And by the time you listen to this podcast, it could be very different. It could be very different an hour after you listen to this podcast. The athletic directors that are tuned into their specific programs and the head of the College Football Playoff Executive Committee are saying, we are scheduled to play in 5 days from now, Monday, January 11th in Miami, Florida, for the national championship game between number one Alabama and number three Ohio State. And we will dive into some of the X's and O's of that specific matchup in some early look ahead that Drew and I are having when it comes to the specific national title game and what to expect on the gridiron if we get there to next Monday. But before we get to that, Drew, we have now 5 days until the end of the 2020 college football season. One more game to be played in this new year now of 2021. In this new year, Drew, and I know you're a guy that really feels this way as well, is about starting off on a good foot, starting off on a healthy foot. You were back in Big Ten country throughout the Christmas portion leading up to New Year's Day. I'm sure you enjoyed some good food, some good Midwestern food, right? Was that the case at the Carter household?
Some good tater tot hot dish was the first dinner I had when I was home in Minnesota. Have you ever had that one there, Benny?
No,
boy?
What tater is tot that? Hot dish? Sky, you ma, row the boat me. Give it to me.
Oh, tater tot hot dish. It's delicious. It's basically a bed of ground beef with some ranch, maybe. It depends on who's making it for you. But if we're talking Midwest, we're talking ranch. Right. Some vegetables, which not really Midwestern, but there are vegetables. You get some green beans, corn, carrots, peas. And then to top it all off, tater tots, a bed of tater tots. It's delicious. You call yourself Big Ten Ben, you've never had a tater tot hot dish. That's interesting, folks.
That sounds absolutely delicious. Do not try to get me here, Drew Carter. I see what you're doing, SEC Drew. Regardless, though, we're not even really talking about tater tot hot dishes, which do sound fantastic. We're talking about starting off 2021, this new year, on a healthy foot. And the perfect place to do that, and what I turn to, is Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. After a few tater tot hot dishes, I know SEC Drew Carter could enjoy some Built Bars as well, because Drew, Built Bar is the most delicious protein bar there has ever been, because it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. All 18 of their amazing flavors are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but you can feel good when you eat Built Bar, because they are perfect for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein, so SEC Drew can still hit the gym and feel good, and high in fiber. None of the bad stuff, all of the good stuff mixed into all 18 amazing flavors, and you feel like you're eating dessert every time you have a Built Bar. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Drew Carter, how would you rate that ad read, seeing as you are about to do one in our next break?
I'm breathing heavily over here, Ben. I want to go get myself a Built Bar. I gotta get on that promo code. I was just waiting, Ben, to ask you, what's the catch? And it sounds like there is not. This is no too catch. Good to be true, but it's actually that good.
You know, the best thing also about going to BuiltBar.com, Drew, is that you can pick the 10 flavors that come into your box. So let's say you're a fan of caramel brownie or peanut butter or salted caramel, but you don't really want any of the mint flavors or the banana bread for whatever reason. All of them are amazing, by the way. You can pick what flavors you want in those 10, in that box of 10 that gets shipped directly to you. And you get 20% off with that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. But Drew, we talked about starting off 2021 with a healthy foot, right? Starting off on a good way. 2020, thankfully, is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. Back here on the Locked On Big Ten show, we are going to preview the national championship game, which I'm sure Locked On Bets will be discussing here in the next coming days, because as our friends at betonline.ag see it, Clemson, maybe due to some of the reporting that came out on Tuesday, Alabama is up. I know. See, I said Clemson. I've just been in that zone for the last week. I didn't mean any disrespect, Coach Saban. I promise. I didn't. I'm a big fan. You know, I'm Big Ten Ben, but I didn't mean any disrespect.
Maybe straight to the bulletin board in Tuscaloosa.
I know. He probably heard this. This is like Dabo ranking Ohio State 11th. That's what I just did right there.
Yes.
Terrible. Uh-huh. Regardless, betonline.ag has moved the spread up in the favor of the Alabama Crimson Tide. The Tide now a 9-point favorite over Ohio State. The over-under total still at a whopping 75 points. So now Drew Carter and I are going to preview this matchup a little bit. Some early thoughts as we look ahead. Drew, you were on this podcast last time singing the praises of Alabama, and rightfully so. In my mind, they have been the best team by a large margin in college football all year long. We saw that in the college football playoff semifinal, the Rose Bowl, if you want to call it that, against Notre Dame once again. The passing offense is fantastic. They have the Heisman winner in Devontae Smith, the guy who finished third in Mac Jones. It's explosive. It's impressive. What do you like in this game as you look at to what Ohio State offers to try to stop that Alabama offense?
Well, first of all, Ben, let me say what I don't like, and that's that Mac Jones didn't finish second in the Heisman voting and Trevor Lawrence did. Pretty boy, golden boy from Clemson. Listen, Trevor Lawrence, great player, deserved number one pick. Mac Jones had a better season. He should have finished second in Heisman voting. And it's funny because Alabama fans have not had really anything to complain about all year. What's funny about covering this program now in year 14 of the Saban era is they managed to find things to complain about when there's nothing there. Like, I remember watching the Ole Miss game earlier this year, which was tied early in the fourth quarter, and Alabama ended up winning 63-48. And it was doom scrolling from Alabama fans because they thought it was the end of the world. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. But hey, guys, by the way, your running back scored 5 touchdowns and you put up more than 60 and you still won by multiple scores. Relax. And it was on the road in the SEC. Relax. But like, that's the type of thing that Alabama fans have to get upset about because there's nothing else to get upset about because this team is so good. And so when you ask me, what do I think Ohio State can do defensively to slow down Alabama? I don't have an answer. And I think no one has found an answer all season long. Georgia is the best defense Alabama has faced this year. Alabama scored 41 points against them. I think you can make a case that Ohio State has arguably as much defensive talent as Georgia. I think you can make the case that they are coming together and kind of gelling at the right time. I mean, we saw what they did to precious Trevor Lawrence, who finished second in Heisman voting. Clemson, after a hot start, didn't really do a whole lot on offense for the rest of the game after the first quarter. So I think you can make a case that Ohio State is as well equipped as anyone to stop Alabama that they faced this year, but no one's been able to do it. Now, Alabama scored just 31 points against Notre Dame in the semifinal, but we all know they could have scored more than that. It actually snapped a streak of 24 straight games where they had scored 35 plus points, which is unbelievable. Like, goodness, two full seasons essentially of scoring 35 in every game.
I'm scared right now just listening to you talk.
Crazy.
I am literally shaking in my
boots. You like these numbers here, but I do think, Ben, Ohio State's defense, which I certainly called into question earlier this year when we recorded after they played Indiana and gave up mid-30s, I certainly called into question. It seems like they are sort of beginning to click at the right time because they played that joke of a Big Ten schedule, and they now
are
finally getting a chance to round into shape because that was their seventh game they've played all year. But yes, I do think that Ohio State's defense is good, but you could put the best defense in the country on the field against Alabama, and they'd still score a lot.
You were making me frankly uncomfortable because you hadn't addressed how you thought Ohio State was bad. You hadn't bashed anything about the Big Ten really yet. And I was like, where is this guy? The guy that I call SEC Drew, he hasn't come out yet. And there it was just a little bit. But I think you make some really good points because Ohio State, without a doubt, played their best performance of the entire year against Clemson in that Sugar Bowl. And that is what they do. They step up and they rise to the occasion. They wanted the game against the Tigers all year long since last year's college football playoff semifinal. They got it and they performed up to the level. They will need even a better performance against Alabama. But I think you bring up a great point when you talk about Georgia, because Georgia's rushing defense ranks first in the country. Who ranks second?
Ohio State.
Ohio State. And that might be an advantage for the Buckeyes, but you have Najee Harris, who in my mind is the best running back in all of college football, although Trey Sermon making his way up to that level, at least in the recent three games we have seen from that Ohio State offense. But Ohio State's defense in the secondary truly, truly struggles. And Alabama has the second best passing success rate in the entire country. I don't know who's better than them, but they have the second best passing success rate in the entire country. They are so explosive. Mac Jones has so many options and so many weapons at his disposal. And Ohio State's secondary still ranks 12th worst in the entire country. They are one of the worst teams when it comes to guarding against the pass in the entire country. Like Kansas is below them. Ole Miss is below them when it comes to Power 5 competition, but there's not a whole lot below them. And even in a game where they look so good against Clemson in that CFP semifinal, they still allowed the Tigers to throw for 400 yards. And a lot of that was chunk plays at the end as Clemson's trying to catch up from being down so much. But when you're going up against the best offense in the country, which Alabama is, that is definitely a cause for hesitation when you're an Ohio State fan.
I mean, if you can't stop the pass, you're going to get barbecued. Like it's going to be a very long day for you. And the thing with Alabama games this year, Ben, is it a lot of the time it's come down to, can the other team get a single stop? Because Alabama's defense, which is not, I mean, it's not up to the standard that it was when Saban first started in Tuscaloosa. You know, when I think last time I was on the show, I was ready to plant the flag and say Alabama's the best team I had ever seen just because their defense, it was rounding into form. Florida comes in and scores 45 on them. And I sort of walk that back a little bit, but Alabama's defense is still solid and they're still good for at least a few stops per game. I don't care who they're playing. So if you're the opposing defense, you need to get a couple of stops, and almost no one has been able to do that this year against Alabama. And you mentioned all the weapons for the Tide. Now, I think the speculation, the folks on Twitter who were like stirring the pot, the speculation is that
this is
Ohio
State point,
wants
though.
To keep they want to well Ohio State wants to get the game postponed so Fields can be healthy. Alabama has Jaylen Waddle, who might be healthy for this game. And he might be healthy even if they don't have to postpone it. Nick Saban said on Tuesday morning that there's a chance he could play. We've seen reports from Aaron Suttles of The Athletic, who he said that Jaylen Waddle has been medically cleared. And it's going to come down to, is Jaylen Waddle comfortable enough to play in this game? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, he's going to play because this will be his final collegiate game. He'll be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. So I don't know how you stop Alabama without him. Good luck with him.
And even a better point about if he's not at full 100% health, which I don't think he will be, but even if Jaylen Waddle is a part of the game plan at all, or even is out there in the speculation surrounding him, you know that Kerry Coombs and that Ohio State defense is going to have to game plan for the possibility of Jaylen Waddle, whether that's all four quarters or a couple of trick plays here and there where they can use him as a decoy or something. They will now have to think about Jaylen Waddle being added to an Alabama offense that has one of the most mind-blowing stats I have seen in college football history. Alabama has a 73% offensive available yards percentage this season. What that means is if you start a drive at your opponent's 30-yard line, you have 70 available yards until you can score a touchdown. Alabama this year, through the duration of their schedule, has got 73% of the available yards allowed to them. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely astounding. Ohio State's sixth in the country, and they're at 65%, and that's really good too. But 73% of the yards Alabama has needed to score this year, score a touchdown, they have got. This is me just being mind-boggled by that because it is truly, truly amazing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and again, I can sound like a broken record here and say, I don't know how anyone's going to stop them. But I mean, if we think Ohio State can maybe get a few stops, if they're lucky, it's going to come down to the other side of the ball. And can they score on Alabama? And I think they can. But also, we need to know how healthy Justin Fields is, because even though he went nuclear in that game against Clemson, he was clearly in a lot of pain. And you wonder maybe once the adrenaline wears off, if that's going to be a real issue for him. Now, I also want to say this, Ben, because I need to endear myself to Big Ten fans at least a little bit after my slanderous performance last time on this podcast. Slanderous.
Your father and I were disappointed greatly.
And Jeffrey the Greek, too. And I can't blame you, Jeffrey the Greek. But here's the thing. That targeting call on Justin Fields was 100% justified. And I was so glad when they tossed James Skalski out of the game. So glad. Because I don't know if officials are technically supposed to account for prior history with a player, but I don't know how you don't if you have ever seen James Skalski play football. I mean, he's a repeat offender. He got tossed from the championship game last year for doing the exact same thing. Yeah, he didn't hit Justin Fields helmet to helmet, but he was looking directly at the turf when he laid that hit. And he ended up potentially, we don't really know, but maybe cracking the guy's ribs or at least bruising them and he was in a ton of pain for the rest of that game. So I just wanted to say that so Big Ten fans know that I don't hate the Big Ten. In fact, I like the Big Ten. And let me just say, it was good that he got tossed from that game. And prayers up for Justin Fields because he's so fun to watch, and I hope he's fully healthy for this game.
Justin Fields did say, and Ryan Day said in his press conference on Monday, that when he was speaking to his quarterback over the weekend, Justin Fields was not as sore as he expected to be waking up Saturday morning and Sunday morning. What that means for actually performing the athletic feat of playing quarterback in the college football playoff national championship game, who knows? But it is a good sign for the Ohio State offense. Now, Drew, we have one final segment to go, but before we get to the break, I want to ask this quickly of you, as this will be our last time speaking with SEC Drew Carter in this college football season. We have Alabama as a 9-point favorite over Ohio State. What do you like in that game in terms of when it comes to picking against the spread?
And it's a hefty line for a national championship. I can't remember the last time we saw a 9-point spread in a title game, but you know my name. It's SEC Drew.
It is.
You know what I've been watching the entire year. You know I've been indoctrinated, purely brainwashed. Purely brainwashed from my year and a half in Birmingham, Alabama. Even if this game is competitive, I still think Alabama can cover this spread because, again, I mean, as we've said several times, I don't expect Ohio State, despite the fact that it seemed like they sort of turned a corner in that Clemson game, I don't really expect them to be able to slow down this Alabama offense. Kerry Coombs, get that confetti out of your hair. That was a nice snow angel you made. But get to the drawing board because good luck. I mean, no one's been able to slow them down all year. They have not played a close game all season. Their closest game, like we talked about, was at Ole Miss, where they still won by 15. Ohio State's better than Ole Miss, but Alabama is a machine. And so I would take the Crimson Tide to cover that 9-point spread. Can I do the ad read now?
It works perfectly into it. Go ahead, please.
So if I want to bet on Alabama to win and cover the spread 9 points against Ohio State, where am I going to go? Bet online. Folks, are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up with a playoff picture becoming more clear. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust here on Locked On Big Ten. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. 50%? Oh my God, I could go for 50%. Think about NFL playoffs, Ben. We've got the super wild card weekend that's so exciting. It says here college football top games. Well, there's only one top game, baby, and you got to get your hot action on Alabama, Ohio State. Current headlines in sports, there are always amazing headlines, folks, and it's always time to get on betonline.ag as I run out of steam at the end of this ad read. Folks, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Big10Ben, just kidding, Locked On, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50%, not a typo, 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sports experts.
I have a question for you here. As I'm about to talk about Locked On NFL Wednesdays and how important they are to Locked On Podcast Network, what is the NFL team of choice for most fans in and around Birmingham?
That's a phenomenal question, Ben, and one I tried to find the answer to when I started working here. The answer is we don't care. The answer is Russell Westbrook next. Because who cares? I mean, that's kind of the NFL team around here is Alabama, which is basically an NFL team. And really the correct answer to that question is whoever Alabama alumni are playing for, which is everyone, because Alabama has more alumni in the NFL than any other school basically combined. So that's who people root for in the NFL around here.
And a guy that will certainly be in the NFL next season, Devontae Smith, the 2020 Heisman Trophy winner, will discuss our reaction to the Heisman Trophy and round out this Locked On Big Ten episode. But as I was discussing with Drew there, we're talking about Wednesdays on Locked On NFL. This is Wednesday on Locked On Big Ten, an early look ahead to the College Football Playoff National Championship. Wednesdays on Locked On NFL, take a dive into the future of your favorite NFL franchises. Tony Wiggins and James Rapine are joined every week by a Locked On draft expert to talk prospects in the upcoming draft and young NFL players fresh into the league. Did your team have a big rookie performance this week, maybe from Alabama, or are they shaping up to have a premier draft pick in the 2021 draft, like Devontae Smith? Where does Mac Jones go, do you think?
I would say first overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars, his hometown team.
None of that pretty boy Trevor Lawrence anymore, huh?
In all seriousness, Ben, I think first pick of the second round, if the Jags keep it.
I agree with that. Okay. Get everything you need Wednesdays on Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. That is Wednesday on the NFL channel. Wednesdays here on the College channel, specifically the Locked On Big Ten show. We take an early look ahead to the national title game and we react to the big news also of Tuesday night in a gracious honor for another member of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Devontae Smith, becoming the 2020 Heisman Trophy winner, the first non-quarterback to win the award since 2015 when another Alabama guy, Derrick Henry, did it, and the first wide receiver to win the award in nearly three decades when a Big Ten guy, Michigan's Desmond Howard, won the award back in 1991. When you saw Devontae up there, straight facing it into the camera, showing absolutely zero emotion, what were you thinking as Devontae was crowned the Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, first of all, I have to make an amendment to what I said. The Jags aren't going to take Mac Jones if they take Trevor Lawrence. That was stupid.
Why?
I just,
you don't think it's an RG3 Kirk Cousins thing?
I got caught up in the whole Jacksonville being his hometown thing. Maybe they do. Why not? I guess two quarterbacks is better than one. Whatever. My reaction to Devontae Smith, Ben, is it's the same thing that we've seen literally the entire year from him, which is don't ask him about the Heisman Trophy. He doesn't want to talk about it. It looked like he didn't even want to be there tonight. I mean, he's winning the most prestigious award in the sport, arguably the most prestigious award in all of sports. And he looks disinterested. And like, no offense to the guy. It's just like, I can't imagine. I'd be Joe Burrow up there. I'd be crying. I'd be crying before they announced it. I'd be crying the entire day leading up to it. I'd be shaking at the podium. Devontae Smith is stone-faced, man. His acceptance speech was 1 minute and 50 seconds.
So
that's
quick.
Gotta be. I mean, he has shattered records this year at Alabama. That's got to be the most unbreakable record Devontae Smith has set this year, a 110-second Heisman acceptance speech.
I was noticing that the ESPN broadcast of the Heisman Trophy presentation was running a little bit long. It was 4:42 Pacific time, 7:42 Eastern, about 40 minutes plus into the Heisman Trophy presentation, and they hadn't even gotten to Devontae Smith's sob story yet, his background story. I'm like, oh my goodness. They must know something. I think they knew Devontae Smith was going to win the Heisman like a lot of college football fans did, and that he was going to be short and sweet and they could bank it on the back end because he literally spoke for a minute. But it was very cool to see his mother and his father and his entire community in the small town. Ameet.
I had to ask someone how to pronounce it today. Ameet, Louisiana.
And it was cool to see everybody supporting him. And Devontae Smith still very much about his business right now, and rightfully so, as the Crimson Tide are about to play in a national championship game in 5 days. But it was very cool to see Devontae Smith win it. I think a lot of college football fans were glad to see it not going just to a quarterback just because, and him being the first wide receiver to win the award in nearly three decades.
And Ben, if there's a college football fan out there who likes when a non-quarterback wins the award, congratulations, you're an Alabama fan. Because the last three non-quarterbacks to win the award, all Alabama. In fact, all but three, and I tweeted this at Drudel25, all but three of the past 15 Heisman winners have been quarterbacks, and the only three exceptions, running back Mark Ingram in 09, running back Derrick Henry in 15, wide receiver Devontae Smith in 20. And all three of these guys played on the best team in America. All three of these guys certainly were deserving Heisman winners. One guy replied with Christian McCaffrey got snubbed in 2015. Fine, he had a great season at Stanford. Pac-12 is not the SEC. Whatever.
Let's just
be real here, man. Devontae Smith was the best player in the country, and I think it seems like pretty much everyone is happy he won it. And now that it's real, it's almost like a relief because it always felt like a pipe dream at this point in college football for a non-quarterback to win the award. The Smith buzz kind of started around the LSU game where he made that ridiculous one-handed catch in the end zone as he was falling back. That was his hometown kind of reunion with his family and friends because Ameet's pretty close to Baton Rouge. And then against Arkansas, he houses a punt return, which he actually said was his favorite play of the season in his post-Heisman press conference. And that's like the Desmond Howard effect. When a wide receiver returns a punt for a touchdown, that's when the Heisman thing becomes real. And it's been so long that it didn't feel like it was going to happen, but it did because he's just that good.
I noticed that you talked about the past 15 years. Are you not bringing up 2005 because it's vacated, although it still should be in Reggie Bush's possession?
I was thinking about, should I include 2005? Because he technically did win it.
Right.
But
now it's not there.
That the 2005 Heisman belongs to one of my favorite players of all time, which is vacated.
And the last time before Reggie Bush that it went to a non-quarterback was in 1999. And now this is a Big Ten tweet because it was Ron Mother Effin Dane of Wisconsin. So hell yeah. Hell yeah, Ron. As we round it out with one final question about the national championship game, because you talked about the possibility that Jaylen Waddle, the potent wide receiver for that Alabama offense, might be back for the title game against the Buckeyes. Coming into this 2020 college football season, would you have ranked Devontae Smith or Jaylen Waddle as the most impressive wide receiver on Alabama's team?
Waddle. And it would have been an easy, it would have been an easy answer for me. Waddle, because of kind of the stuff we just said about Devontae Smith, how he's so versatile, how he can kill you, obviously, in the passing game, in the running game as well, and then in the return game. Jaylen Waddle was the best kick punt returner in the country before he went down. That's actually how he got injured on the opening kick at Tennessee. I would have said Waddle, but that's the thing about Alabama guys, Ben, is Jaylen Waddle, who is the most versatile player in America, gets hurt. Devontae Smith steps into the void, and he wins the Paul Hornung Award as the most versatile player in America. Then he wins the Heisman Trophy to top it off. And then he'll win a national championship trophy as the icing on the cake at the end of this season.
There you go. Some positivity for Ohio State fans to look forward to. The possibility of getting Jaylen Waddle back. But also, if Drew Carter is picking Alabama, maybe that's good for Ohio State fans. A little extra bulletin board material for those Buckeyes that might need some motivation heading into the national championship game, although I think they'll be ready to go. That will be my hypothesis, that Ohio State will be ready for the national title. We took an early look ahead to it and reacted to all the news. Drew Carter wants one final thing to say on the Locked On Big Ten show. Yes.
One final thing, Ben. Over, under, 2.5 catches for Chris Olave.
Over.
I'll take the under. Patrick Surtain, eraser. The eraser.
True. I agree. Patrick Surtain is probably the best cornerback in all of college football. However, Chris Olave is up there in the top five of wide receivers in all of college football. He will be over 2.5 catches. That's how we'll end it. That is how we will end this wonderful early look ahead, a reaction to all of the news, the reports, the statements, the clarifications from Tuesday. As we all get ready, we hope, for a college football national championship game to be played as scheduled Monday, January 11th, in just 5 days. And the guy that wasn't as fiery as last time, but still just as insightful, SEC Drew Carter, a man with Big Ten blood in his veins from Minnesota. Never forget that fact. And you heard that, Steve, and Amanda Carter. He is still a Big Ten boy at heart, joining us on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, killing ad reads, giving expert analysis from the heart of Birmingham, Alabama, a sports reporter and anchor at CBS 42. Drew, always a lot of fun, my friend.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thank you. Jeffrey the Greek, if you're listening, I'll send you my address and you can meet me outside.
Beautiful, beautiful way to end it. As we look ahead to tomorrow's episode, it is a two for Thursday. Our focus for the next couple of days, unless we have some breaking news when it comes to the college football national championship game, which might be a possibility, some Big Ten hoops for your weekend. So we have two for Thursday, all about Big Ten basketball, the best conference in all of college basketball. Even SEC Drew Carter can agree with that. He is nodding, and that is how we end it. So until we get to two for Thursday, until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Wednesday.